Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
If you had to identify God, how would you identify Him? The Bible tells us that He is the God of heaven and the earth. And so if you ask the question, how do you identify God, what would your answer be? You know, many times I thought about the teacher who asked the class, do you know what God's name is? One little boy said, yeah. She said, well, what is God's name? He said, well, it's Andy. She said, well, how in the world did you come up there? He said, because at church we sing the song, Andy walks with me and he talks with me. Well, you see, we get this concept of who God is. So many folks have the concept of the little boy about God. The teacher asked the class to draw a picture of God, of the Garden of Eden, and God driving Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. She's going around the room and she sees this little boy has drawn this picture, and he has drawn a limousine, and Adam and Eve are sitting in the back, and there's an old man sitting in the front with his beard going out the window. She said, what is that? He said, that's God driving Adam and Eve out of the garden. So you look at the concept of God and you ask this question, who is God? When you and I began to study the Bible in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Not only that, but as you and I read the Bible, we also find that there are other scriptures that make the declaration that God is our Creator. As you and I continue to read the Bible and we look at identifying marks of God, you and I can go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4 and verse number 24, and the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. And so again, what do we find? We find a different description. I think of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 10 when He said, fear not them which are able to destroy the body, not able to destroy the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And I think of Deuteronomy 4:24, and the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. Not only that, but you and I discover that not only is God a creator, not only is God a consuming fire, but we see that God is also a destroyer. Somebody said, wait a minute. I mean, you're talking about God creating, and then you say God is a consuming fire, and now you say God is a destroyer. Well, go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, and you find that Abraham is pleading with God regarding Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Abraham bargains with God on that occasion. So we see God as a creator, as a consuming fire, as a destroyer. But not only that, we see Him also as a forgiving God. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 85, and verse number 2, the Bible says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, thou hast covered all their sin. So we see God as a creator, consuming fire, a destroyer. We see God as a forgiver. But then not only that, but we also see that He is a God of love. John chapter number 3 and verse 16. I'm sure if I stopped right now that everyone in this audience could say verbatim, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we see God, and we say, well, God is love. In 1 John 4, in verse number 16, the Bible makes that statement just as it is. God is love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We could also say that God is a giver as well. Not only that, but we can identify God, and there are some technical words that we could use, such as God is omnipotent, which means God is all-powerful, or that God is omniscient, which means that God is everywhere. But I want to focus on those things that you and I can more readily identify with. We also know Him as being a merciful God. The Bible said His mercy endureth forever. So we look at these terms, we look at these words. We see God as a creator. We see God as a destroyer, as a consuming fire, a God of forgiveness, a God of love, and a God of mercy. And then we ask the question, what does that mean to me? How does that apply to my life today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year? How do I fit into that pattern of all of these identifying marks of God? Well, I'm going to give you three, all three of them coming from the Old Testament and the book of Psalms. Number one is this. Not only is God all of these things that we have mentioned, but God is our dwelling place. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 90 and verse 1, the Bible said, O Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place from generation unto generation. When you and I look at this concept of dwelling place, in the book of Psalms again, chapter number 4 and verse number 8, the Bible says that I may dwell in safety. When you and I look at Psalm 91 and verse number 1, the Bible says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So you and I look at this concept of dwelling. If you and I were to go back to do a historical research on the word dwell, I want to tell you what you'd find. You'll find that the word dwell means to sit, to remain, to stay put. When you and I look at that word, now then go back. And the Bible says, Thou hast been our dwelling place from generation to generation. And you and I go back and we look at the Hebrew meaning of the word dwell. And so the Bible is saying that you and I live with God. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 15, the Apostle Paul said, But if I tarry long, now I want you to hang on to that a minute. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to come back to it. Because then I want to go to the book of Psalm, number 27, and verse number 4. And the psalmist said, The one thing that I seek after. And he said, That I may... Now listen to this. He said, here's what I desire of thee, and here is what I seek after, that I may dwell. You remember our definition? To sit, to remain, to stay there. And so in Psalm 27 verse 4, here's what I desire, that I may dwell, sit, remain, stay, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now come back with me again to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And look at what the Bible says. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So when the psalmist said in Psalm 27 verse 4, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, what is the house of the Lord for us? And that is simply, ladies and gentlemen, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, that you and I may dwell within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, within His church, that we may sit, that we may remain, that we may stay. It is not something, my friend, that's occasional, but it is something that becomes a part of our life every day, every week, every year. Now I want you to look at an illustration. I don't know if you've seen that. I'm sure you have. You've watched, I think it's Channel 5 News. They have the Wednesday's Child. And they have these children, no matter if they need to be adopted. And I think, wow. I've not seen a child on there that Jant and I sat there and watched that we don't want to get on the phone right then and call them up and say, we'll take them. Now, I'm going to tell you, they'd live with us about 3 hours and say, let me out of here. But I look at these boys and girls and I look at what they're wanting and they say, well, I'm looking for somebody to love me. I'm looking for a mom and dad. I'm looking for a family that I can be with. I'm looking for someone that will love me and make me a part of their life. They had one where a little girl had been adopted by an athlete here in the city of Atlanta, an athlete that was well paid, and it showed her life, how that she was living with them in this beautiful home and what they were able to do for her. I want you to imagine for a second, if you received a call from Seattle, Washington, from the home of the Microsoft Corporation and someone said to you, we want Bill Gates has given me instruction to call you and to say to you that he wants to adopt you as one of his children. Would you hang up the phone? I wouldn't. Bill Gates wants to adopt. Now you think about this. I feel sorry for him. He lost $2 billion, so now he's only the second richest man in the world. $51 billion. Now I'm going to tell you, Bill Gates says, I'm going to adopt you into my family. I'm worth $51 billion. You're going to be my child. What would be your reaction? Well, first of all, that sounds good, preacher, but it ain't going to happen. Well, it isn't. And I'm telling you, don't go home and sit by the phone. But I'm going to tell you something better. Bill Gates isn't going to call you, but God is. The Bible in the book of Galatians, chapter number 4, and in Romans, chapter number 8, the Bible says that I have the spirit of adoption. That I have been adopted by God. I am a fellow heir with Christ Jesus, who is His Son. Now, as a result of that, what do I have? I have, ladies and gentlemen, all of the benefits. Listen, He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, I go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I am getting ready for you to come. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, for we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a home eternal in the heavens made by the hands of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it means to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the promise that has been given to me. That He is my dwelling place. Oh Lord, Thou hast been my dwelling place from generation unto generation. Secondly, not only is God my dwelling place, when I look at all of these descriptions, but God is my refuge. In the book of Psalms, again, all three of these are from Psalms. Psalm 90 on the first one, Psalm 46 the second one. The Bible said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the earth shake with the swelling thereof. There is a stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Have you ever been stranded? Have you ever been stranded late at night? Doesn't matter. I was out on Fulton Industrial Boulevard. You know where 20 goes across Fulton Industrial. And I'm going to turn left out off of Fulton Industrial, get on Interstate 20. My car stops. 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought I was in New York with the horns blowing. It started up. I thought, whoopee, I'm ready to go. I get on the expressway, and I haven't gone a mile or less, and guess what? It does it again. I thought, I got to do something. I pull over to the side of the expressway and sat there for a minute. Lo and behold, started that thing up. So I said, I am heading out to Bremen. That's where I bought the car, over at the Ford dealership. I'm going to go to Bremen. I don't know why I didn't stop at Bleakley 4. I don't think right. But at any rate, I said, I'm going to Bremen. So I head off down toward Bremen. Man, that thing is rolling right on. And I get down to Billerica. Guess what happens? Does it again. I pull over to the side of the road. my glove compartment, got an 800 number, and called Ford Motor Company and said, come down here. I'm here. They sent a tow truck. Now, I want you to think about that. I heard about a couple, and they had been stranded. It was kind of late at night, and the man had a family. I was by myself, and the man had a family. And they were getting kind of concerned and upset. And finally, the tow truck came, and his wife made this statement. She said, our help is here. That's the way I felt that day when that tow truck pulled up. Help is here. Now, I want you to look at Psalm number 46 for just a second. In those few verses of Psalm number 46, one of the short psalm, in those short verses, God is referred to or mentioned specifically 20 times in that chapter. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, will the earth be removed, will the mountain be carried in the midst of the sea. God is in the midst of her. The tabernacle of God, the city of God. And not only, now, the word God, I believe, is used 9 different times, and then the word Lord is used 7 different times. And then you will find also in that chapter the word I and the word He, every single one of them referring to God. Now, I want you to look at this real quick. Our help is here. Number one, our. God is a personal God. Listen to this. The Bible said God is my refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many individuals and they do not have that personal relationship and see God as their refuge. They see God as a spiritual 9-11. Some guy calls 9-11 to complain that he didn't get mustard on his McDonald's hamburger. I thought, wow, that's the way it is with some folks in God. I'm having a picnic tomorrow. God, help it not to rain. God's not a spiritual 9-11, ladies and gentlemen. God is our dwelling place. He is our refuge. He is our... It is a... Now, I want to ask you, do you have a long-distance relationship? I told you, I think about the old boy wanted to marry this young lady. She was just fantastic to him. He wanted to marry her. They were separated by a distance. So he wrote her a letter every day. 365 days later, she got married. She married the post carrier, mail postman. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look, our God is our refuge and strength. Our help, God is the help. God is the help. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I want to have the kind of relationship. I want to have the kind of relationship with God that God recognizes when I call on Him, because I have called on Him every day. I've called on Him in worship on the Lord's Day. I've called on Him with a study of the Word of God. I have called on Him in prayer on a regular basis. It is not something that I've done once or twice. God is our refuge. He is our help. Now, thirdly in there, God is our help, our personal. Our help is God. Our help is here. In Acts 17, Paul stood on Mars Hill. And he said, as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. And I noticed this altar with this inscription, to the unknown God whom, therefore, listen to this, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you. Notice that he said he is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. God is a spiritual being. John 4:24, the Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our help, which is God, is here. God isn't far away, ladies and gentlemen. You and I today can come into contact with Him. I've used this a lot. It's not anything new, whether it's me or another preacher. I can't get in touch with Bill Gates. I can't get in touch with Warren Buffett. They've got this advertisement on radio by this guy, CNBC, financial thing, Kramer, whatever his name is. I can get on, man, if I'll pay him, huh? Hey, man, he's getting all my hundreds of thousands of dollars that I could put in somewhere else. I'll let you know when I make a stock purchase. I'll let you know when I'm going to sell, blah, 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 all this. I have to pay him money in order to do that. I can't get to the President of the United States. I can't even get an appointment with my senator or my representative. I might be able to find the mayor of Douglasville. And he would speak to me, I'm sure. Let me tell you something, my friend. I don't have to go through every secretary and call up on the phone and hit this button and that button. Our menu has changed. Hit one here and two here and five. I don't have to do any of that. Because God is here. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Number three. Number one, God is my dwelling place. Number two, God is our refuge. And number three, God is our salvation. In Psalm number 27, the Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? When mine enemies come to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me. Oh, I'm not going to fear, the psalmist said. God is our light and our salvation. Today, God is your salvation and mine. It's very simple. Not only is He light, but God is willing to save every man, woman, boy, and girl today. You can be adopted today. You can be a child of God today. You can be an heir of Christ Jesus, or an heir with Christ Jesus today. Because God is my salvation, and He is yours if you will accept His will. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest in your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You and I today, we have access to the salvation that's found in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Yeah, all I must do is submit my will to his. I'm saved by his grace. Titus 2, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Ephesians 2, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. All you have to do today is appropriate that grace. It's very simple. You hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And upon that faith, you make a change in your life. I don't have time today, but I want to study sometime 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 10. The Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. And then he goes on in verse number 11, and he gives a description of about five or six terms in 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 11. What that repentance means. It means a change of life, a change of heart, a change of direction. You say, I'm going to repent. Confess his name before this assembly today. Take a old man of sin. He's dead. You bury him in water. He's resurrected to walk in a new life. That's all you need to do. And then serve Him. Dwell with Him. Dwell with Him. Live with Him. Every day. The Bible says in John 15, he that abideth in me and I in him. So I abide in him. Now, what is your decision? God, yeah, creator, destroyer, consuming fire, forgiver, mercy, love, but also He is a God in whom we dwell. He is a God who is our refuge, and He is a God of our salvation.